Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
What's up?
Well, I'm just here to tell the real story of NFTs with you. As do you think 10 weeks of preparation, research, and conversations is enough?
I am ready to talk about fungible ape photos.
That's a type of a visit.
Non-fungible.
Is that the kind of visit you get in jail where they let someone else? Is that a fungible visit?
I don't know.
Or is that conjugal?
Oh, no.
Asking for a friend here.
Yes. Non-conjugal visit.
Non-conjugal tokens. Okay. Well, I don't think that's what we're supposed to talk about today, because my notes here say
that we... That's just as much bullshit as non-fungible tokens is.
Possibly. Well, we've had 10 weeks of research to try to figure that out. And, you know, for those of you listening, if you haven't caught this series from the beginning, it started on April 1st, which was not an April Fool's joke when we published an episode titled WFT is an NFT. One of my favorite titles of all time, actually.
Yes.
But we kind of, I think a lot of people were asking that, man. WFT is an NFT. So, you know, we got into answering it. We followed up the next week discussing NFT art. 1 week later, NFTs in the music industry. And then we had a special visit from NFL Hall of Famer Eddie George, who used NFTs to introduce a collection of content that had some, well, we say we like to tell the real story of entrepreneurship. He was telling the real story of what it's like to be an NFL player. Looking forward to catching the rest of those. We talked about earning. You can earn, Matt. You can earn with NFTs.
Yes.
You can play to earn. You can move to earn. You can do a whole lot of stuff to earn. We're talking about tracking NFT assets inside the NFT industry, the dark side of NFTs. And then we just got into whether any of this is legit or bullshit. And now we're going to wrap up that whole thing. Yeah, well... You know what's not bullshit is the fact that today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers is difficult, and Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably, and has the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Well, Matt, 9 episodes later, we learned that non-fungible tokens, not non-conjugal. I mean, it's a mouthful, man. That's a lot to say. Yeah.
Fungible.
Yeah. I mean, if there's a lot in a name, that's not, I would have to go back and say that maybe not well named.
There's a reason they just call it an NFT.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite the other day was Elon Musk posted on Twitter, like he always does. And it was a whole collage of Bored Ape. NFTs, and it's like, well, they seem pretty fungible to me.
Which made ApeCoin rise sharply, which
I
think is not a great sign for an asset. When one influencer can post a tweet and wildly change the value of something. I mean,
that is the world of crypto.
I know that's a weird thing, right? And I mean, that's kind of always gone on with crypto. Who was the one dude, the weird guy, McAfee?
Yes. There's been a bunch of people over time that have hyped this stuff up, and you know, they it's like they had a way of moving the markets, right? And you know, they had to be doing a little manipulation and making some money from it.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt Elon Musk is like, okay, I'm going on SNL tonight. I'm going to buy some Dogecoin before I go on, and I'm going to pump this shit, and I'm going to have my people
sell it for
me.
That didn't work out.
No?
Yeah. I was on the bad side of that one.
Yeah.
I've been on the bad side of probably all things NFT, all things crypto. In fact, I'm thinking about starting a service where I'll tweet out when I'm getting ready to buy something so you can dump it.
That's been my whole experience with crypto. I've learned every way to lose money with crypto, pretty much.
Yeah, I have too. So, you know, I think another thing too is like maybe I'll do my own NFT and NFT holders will get that info. Like the it's like a pre-sale password code kind of thing. So
yeah, you know, who knows? In general, I do believe the technology behind NFTs has value, and we will see value out of it in the future. But you know, I think, you know, to date, it's been used for games and buying land in the metaverse, and we'll talk about, you know, more of that, I'm sure, during our episode today. And it's been used a lot in art. But I don't know if it's found its true use case yet. But just like when smart contracts came out with Ethereum several years ago, there wasn't a lot of things in Ethereum that were really using smart contracts. And then NFTs came out, or DeFi came out, which is decentralized financing. So you could like put your Bitcoin up and borrow dollars against your Bitcoin and do all these different financial things. And it uses a lot of smart contracts a lot. Like, it's this huge boom. And so far with NFTs, we've mostly seen it as art, which has been kind of a gimmick, in my opinion, and not what we'll see maybe in the future of like more real world use cases of the technology.
Well, so it was just a little over a year ago that the gold rush for NFTs really kind of began. And what's one thing we've always said about a gold rush is that the people that usually make money during the gold rush are the people that sell pickaxes and shovels.
The guys that created OpenSea are the ones that are made all the money. Like, that company is worth like billions now.
Well, and then also you've got some of the people that created the damn NFTs.
Yeah.
That, you know, a lot of them. So it's been pretty interesting because, you know, as mentioned, we started this series on April 1st and we started recording it a couple of weeks before that. But we've kind of seen the NFT thing really go in a sharp decline. Now it's kind of followed the market trend where, I mean, crypto kind of did the same thing, but the gold rush for NFTs really started in the spring of 2021 when Beeple, and Beeple's an artist. So Beeple's every day, the first 5,000 days, it sold for $69 million. Not doll hairs, Matt, dollars. And yeah, but if he had 69 million doll hairs, that'd probably be worth a lot too, but not as much as $69 million. So yeah, that kind of started putting the spotlight on digital art. Now with that, you've seen a lot of, you know, so still, you know, 50% of NFT sales are, you know, less than $200.
But yeah.
$69 million, man, for a JPEG.
This is crazy. And you know, the whole thing with the digital art I don't get is, you claim that you own it and you claim that you own the original, but like, so what? Like, I can still put it on my computer. I can still print it out. I could still make a poster of it. Like, just because you claim that you own it, like, anybody can make copies of it.
Well, and then one of the things too, and we kind of talked about this in the prior episode, you know, there's a lot of imposter stuff. And, you know, I bought some grandpa apes, which look a lot like a bored ape. In fact, I've had people, I did not buy 11 bored apes. It didn't. They look like them, but that's not what they are. But here's the thing, man. The people asking me, they're like, dude, how much did you pay for that ape? I'm like, $30.
And $75 in gas fees.
And then $75 in gas fees to get it. Yeah.
Thank you,
yeah.
Ethereum.
Yeah. But, you know, I was shocked the other day because as I was kind of rounding this out. So, oh, man, I immersed myself in this whole NFT thing. And so I've gone through a bit of a liquidation event at the end of this because, you know, I had ducks, angry pit bulls, apes. I mean, it was a bloodbath, man.
Did you have any squiggly lines?
No.
Those are my favorite.
All that shit didn't appreciate fast enough for me to leverage it into a doodle. I mean, what the fuck is that, by the way?
I don't know, like, man.
I mean, literally like a curved red line.
A rainbow colored lines or whatever.
Okay, that's going to be $8,000, please. I'm like, what? For what?
I'm just going to have my kids come draw stuff from now on and sell it as NFTs.
Well, you talk about gas fees. I mean, in last week's episode, that was the thing we said. We're like not legit. But as I was, you know, kind of, I had like a very small amount left in my digital wallet at OpenSea. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy one more Grandpa Ape. And I was so thrilled that the gas fee was only $9.
Yeah. The fees have come down.
I was like, whoa. I was like, I didn't even think I had enough money for it because I was expecting the gas fees to like blow up the whole transaction. So let's talk about that. Like, that's the thing that's crazy for me is like, I mean, people complain about buying, you know, they're like, I bought a $30 ticket on Ticketmaster and there's $27 worth of fees. Hold my beer, man, said the NFT community, because I mean, it's crazy. Like, why exactly does it cost so much? Well, and this has come up too. This has been a big thing. So, you know, Yuga Labs, which owns the Bored Ape brand, also acquired all of CryptoPunks along the way. They launched ApeCoin and they sold $500 million worth of land in the metaverse. And they created like a huge logjam in the Ethereum network along the way.
Yes.
That caused them to have to give back like hundreds of thousands of dollars in refunds. But people were paying thousands of dollars in gas fees. So the question I have, does that mean that there's someone like some Ethereum miner somewhere that just had like an amazing day because of that?
Yeah. So Ethereum, if you're mining Ethereum right now, those gas fees go to the miners. And, you know, Ethereum is going to change to proof of stake instead of proof of work. So it is going to change a little bit in the future. But yeah, I think there was like $100 million in gas fees or some crazy shit like that the day that they sold that metaverse land. Like, it was just absurd. Just the transaction fees. It's crazy.
So that was like the day. Like, for like the Ethereum miners, like, I've been waiting for today.
Yeah. Well, and highlights the problem with blockchain stuff to begin with right now is it is not very scalable. And does not, you think about how many transactions like Visa and MasterCard do a minute. Like, blockchain does, it's got to be like 1/1000th of that. Like, it's nowhere even remotely close. Because any kind of new game that comes out or any of this stuff, it always crashes whatever blockchain it comes out on, like every time. This is not scalable.
Yeah. So the thing is, you know, I mean, we found, I think that's the biggest limiting factor. I mean, in my experience, like, that's the biggest deterrent of,
yeah.
You look at that, you're like, I mean, you're trying to buy an overpriced JPEG for $40 and then it's like $97. Like, think about that.
Yeah.
Let's just look at the logic of that statement. So let me explain this, Matt. Just tell me if this sounds legit or not. Okay, so Matt, I was trying to buy a $47 JPEG earlier, and I'm so pissed because after all the fees and everything, it came out to $107.
Well, you know,
what's the difference between that and like going to Adobe Stock and buying the image for 99 cents?
It's crazy. Now, I mean, the good news is there are other blockchains that have much lower transaction fees. And the NFT markets were starting to expand to those, like on Solana and Polygon and Phantom and all these other blockchains that have much lower fees. Like the fees are less than a dollar. But for whatever reason, all the money and all the big money was still on Ethereum. And I think that's still pretty much the case today. Like, if you want to launch an NFT series and you want to make a lot of money selling it, that's where all the whales and the big money are, on Ethereum.
Let's talk about whales, because that's another thing that is really kind of tilted this market in an interesting direction. So, like, you know, something like 85%, or like, you get back to this 80-20 kind of thing where 80% of the transactions are occurring from a very small number of buyers. I mean, does that mean that when doodles come out that they're just people, just the same people, or just they own 100 of them? Or,
well, it's pretty easy to control the market, right? If there's, you know, the thing with NFT is, like, say there's a collection of 10,000 of them, you might only have like 500 or 1,000 owners altogether, because people own multiple of them. Like you said, you own 11 grandpa apes or something. And so
maybe seven.
In a market, it all comes down to how many buyers and sellers do you have. And if you've got, you know, several people that own a bunch of them, they have no interest in selling them. So there may not be much to sell anyways. Like, maybe there's 50 bored apes available that you could buy at any given time or whatever. If you just went and bought all of them up, now you control the market. So you can relist them and like double the price, right? And I think there's definitely some market making going on in some of these lesser known NFT series where people are really kind of controlling the price and inflating the price when they're really not worth that. But because everything is anonymous and nobody knows who bought them or any of that, people can kind of manipulate the pricing around.
Well, that's not always the case though, because sometimes these purchases do actually get tracked back to people. Like in December of 2021, a CryptoPunk NFT sold for $532 million. Now, it was a record sale in the art world, but then it actually wasn't, because the reports later revealed a big issue with the transaction, and the value of the NFT was actually pushed up by a single user who was the buyer and the seller.
Yeah. I wonder.
Now with that, I don't understand the play there though, because if you look at the, like, okay, that's going to have some massive transaction fees. First off, you have to have $532 million to buy it from yourself.
Which is crazy.
Which also means, just say you were paying a 2.5% fee.
Ouch.
So now you just pay like $12 million to buy your own NFT. Now, I mean, is that that smells stinky, man. Like, is that money? Is that likely money laundering?
Rich people problems.
I mean, but why? Please explain the play to me there. Like, I don't, there's something weird there.
Much with NFTs, I feel like is turned into like a status symbol thing, right? Like, people get a bored ape and they put it on their Twitter, and you got people like Eminem and Madonna and all these people that have went and bought bored apes and they changed their avatars on social media. And it was like a giant, like, ego stroking thing and like status symbol thing.
Well, so what you're finding to go with that is that, you know, so like Twitter, all right, so I'm on my Twitter page at DeCourcy Matt, and I've got an ape in there, and I've got the, what is that? What is it when
hexagon?
It has six sides? No, six. Is that a hex?
Yeah, hex.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sides.
Yep.
Which indicates on Twitter that you've used an NFT. Now, in that case, I do have to have the, what do we call it?
A legit NFT.
The non-fungible.
Non-fungible. No,
but you got to have it in it. And like, here, I'll change it. Well, maybe. I mean, I can change it in a moment, and it'll actually, you know, it'll look at my wallet.
Only the super cool people have hexagons.
Well, you don't have to be that cool, because you have to be a member of Twitter Blue, which is $2 a month. Now, that might not sound like a lot, but when there's 100 million people on it, that's a lot of dough for Twitter. So in that same time to go with that, Facebook, Instagram, all of it, all these things that display and show images are kind of racing to figure out how they're going to let people display their NFTs. In the meantime, people are just taking screenshots and posting them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Same is result. You could go mint fake ones on OpenSea and then create your own collection and then just link that to your Twitter, I believe. So
as you mentioned that, Matt, I had clicked on OpenSea and I hit the explore button. And one of the collections that is trending today, the Lost Apes.
Oh boy.
Everything's an ape. Apes are really like apes are having a banner year.
Well,
I feel like apes and monkeys went from like being known from like flinging poop at the zoo to like being what everyone wanted to be, man. Like they have their own coin. They're getting their own metaverse. Like they can even be bored and people are down with it. So good for you, apes.
And so we talked about this one day about why they were apes. Why apes? Why bored apes? You remember that? Yeah. So, most people who invest in something, especially if they kind of blindly invest in something, it's kind of a, you know, slang term of saying you ape into it. You like ape into something, you go buy a bunch of some of it. You don't like, I didn't do a lot of research or whatever, but I'm stupid. And I just aped into it. Right. And so a lot of crypto people, that's how they invest. They just blindly invest in all sorts of dumb, shitty projects and they ape into them. Right. And so I think that was the play on the play on words, the joke of this. They really were bored apes, you know, people like, as an investor, I'm an ape and I'm bored. I'm looking for the next thing to invest in. And so that I think that was where it all came from.
Well, I was going to ape into giving you an ape, but then I blew all my money on gas fees. So I have no way to get it over to you. Yeah.
Well, so the NFT and the art side has definitely gotten all the press and all the highlight. And we've been talking about that. And I think over the last like 12 months or so, it was definitely a huge hype cycle. I would say it all came crashing down right around at the end of the Super Bowl, around March 1st, right when Snoop Dogg released his thing. And we can talk more about the music stuff, but I think that's about the time that the whole thing came crashing down, which like you said, was about when we started recording these things.
Yeah. Snoop got $44 million the day after the Super Bowl, man. And that wasn't difficult, much like it not being difficult to find expert software help when you go to fullscale.io. where you can build a software team quickly and affordably, use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. You do not need an NFT to enter.
Oh, this isn't like a Gary Vee show?
No. Do you need NFTs to listen to his show?
To go to his in-person events, like, yeah. You have to have an NFT to go to V-Con? His event.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
it's like an excuse to use NFTs. Like you don't need NFTs for that, right? You could use Eventbrite or Ticketmaster or something. But nope.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to a concert soon in the Full Scale suite, and I'm gonna have the
show your grandpa ape.
Yeah, that's what I should do. So you know, for I used to be a ticket broker, which you used to work for one, and for years I carried a Justin Bieber fan club card.
Yeah.
I got to tell you what, man, I use that shit. I've cut lines in it. I've gotten discounts with it. You walk up, there's a line like wherever you're at and you walk right up and you just flash the Bieber Fever card. And usually the doorman laughs so hard that a 45-year-old suburban dude came up with the Bieber Fever card. They let you in. And dude, that's very, would that be fungible? Is it fungible if I can hold it?
I think it means that you can like, it's unique and you can't duplicate it.
Didn't I go to a Justin Bieber concert with you recently?
Yeah, we did.
Are we admitting that on air?
Yes. I still have Bieber Fever.
I wanted to see that one. I didn't. I thought that shit was terrible. People kept asking me. Now, dude, I go to a lot of events. We've got a suite at the T-Mobile Center. And I got to tell you what, man, it's not on my list. So now what is on my list is, one of the things that I thought was pretty cool. I like the play to earn thing.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty neat. And, you know, I got a chance to sit down with Ben Topkins, who is one of the founders, at skatex.io. And I liked what they did because they have a game and, you know, that was a whole team of what they call triple A game designer. So if you've worked for like the big, I don't know. See, when I hear triple A, I think one notch below the big leagues, but apparently, yeah, that's like triple A in sports. But I guess if you're a triple A game designer, that's like a big deal. And they have a whole team of them, and they've made a skateboard game. So with their NFTs, you buy your own unique skate deck, and I'm assuming stuff that goes with it, and you can get in there and play. I thought that was pretty cool. But I did ask him, you know, I'm like, so, but what's the real difference? Like, because I have a PlayStation 5. I can go down and play Tony Hawk right now. I don't need an NFT for that. And, you know, there isn't, I guess some of it's back to that unique thing. Like, I guess, Matt, you and I could have the same skateboard. And that could be upsetting for some people.
Well, and that's what's crazy about some of those games is the entry cost to play the game is super high. Like, you spend like hundreds of dollars to buy an Axie Infinity Axie or a skateboard, or like you have Steppen to buy shoes or whatever. And then
you kind of do that with a PlayStation too, though, man. I think, well, I paid like $60-70 for that game. Yeah.
Well, and $300 for the console on top of it, right?
More.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that makes sense, but it's just crazy to me that you spend hundreds of dollars to basically play the game. Now, what's interesting is as you play the game, you know, potentially you create new characters and you can sell that to somebody else, or you get like kind of digital, you know, gold or gems or, you know, whatever the kind of currency is within the game. And then you can potentially sell those to other people that want to, that need that thing to do whatever you do in the game. So there's people that make money doing it. We talked about this before. There's like seemingly millions of dollars and or millions of people like in the Philippines and stuff that play Axie Infinity in these games because they can make a few dollars a day, which is a lot to them in these countries. And there's people that make a lot of money doing it.
Including the people that steal Axie Infinity, because that happened along the way too.
Well, you're talking about the hack?
Yeah. Someone jacked all the Axies, man.
For $600 million.
Yeah. Did anything ever come of that?
I haven't heard much about it. I think that was from their exchange they use for people that like have money and digital stuff in the game and that want to transfer it outside of the game. So it goes through like a crypto exchange. And they,
I know, I did read an article that said they got a little bit of funding to help restore that. Like, they basically raised a huge round to just restore people's cash. Now, you know, that's one of the things that I think you need to look out for. I think that 10 episodes later, I can't say, hey, dude, you should really buy NFTs. I can't say that. I'm sorry. I can't. Not with a clear conscience, man. I just can't. And I really can't.
I mean, on the game side, I can see like you play the game and you get a special sword or whatever, and you can sell it to somebody else. And as somebody who has played games like that before, I have bought those swords from other people. Now, I did it without the blockchain. The blockchain may make it easier, and these games become marketplaces that make it easier for those transactions to happen and incentivize people to play, to make or find the swords and sell them, and that's how they make money doing it. Like, so I get it creates like this marketplace, which is cool. But at the end of the day, they're all sort of Ponzi schemes because there's got to be somebody else new coming in to buy the sword that you just earned. Right. You got all these people, like a million people that play the game every day because they're trying to make these swords or whatever. But somebody else has got to come buy that sword, whatever the thing is. So it's a little bit of a Ponzi scheme. And then eventually you're going to have, you know, all these people that paid their $600 for their skateboards or whatever you're talking about. And then nobody wants to buy them anymore. And they'll just be left holding.
I think that's the main thing. Yeah. It's so much of this stuff is popular until it's not.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, that's the main issue I've got here is like questionable sustainability. Like, for example, you just look at a Bored Ape. Like, if that's a trend and that's a thing. All right. So do you remember Von Dutch? Like the fashion brand, like Paris Hilton was like, they had all this stuff. I just watched a huge, like a three-part documentary about that. That was a very interesting story, but you know, it was like a huge fashion brand. All the stuff was really high priced, and then one day it wasn't, you know. And like, you know, I mean, that's the way that you use the term hype cycles.
Yeah,
that's exactly what you find in fashion. Like, I mean, your kids will probably be able to do a better job of explaining that to you on some days than other people. Like one thing's cool and then it's not, and when it's not, oh man. It's like some of this stuff, like, I mean, I guarantee you there's a lot of NFTs out there and a lot of NFT holders that are like, wow, this is really illiquid all of a sudden.
Well, and you think that the value of things will perpetually just go up, right? But a lot of all this NFT stuff, no, it's just going to go down. I believe like you got in on the hype side and then eventually nobody will want to buy this stuff anymore. It'll be like our old baseball cards when we're a kid, like nobody wants to buy those anymore.
Yeah. So let me see how much the cheapest Bored Ape right now is $154,000. But let's talk about that for a second, because another thing that controls that value is you could say, oh, all right, so that's 89 Ethereum. Now, 89 Ethereum is worth half as much as it was 6 months ago.
Yep.
So that's a whole nother thing. Like we learned that when we were like years ago, first trading a little crypto here and there. And, you know, Bitcoin was kind of the quote gold standard. And so you could have like if Bitcoin went down 20%, it just drug everything else with it because that was the central token that people were often trading in and out of. And then you saw other things come out like these so-called stable coins. How's that going for Terra right now?
Woo. Yeah. UST, Luna, Terra. Yeah. That's a whole nother, that was like billions of dollars.
Wiped away literally billions of dollars in assets in days.
Yep. I got hit with that one.
And yeah. So the thing that's challenging with that is, okay. Could you really like trust UST again?
Nope. I'm out on any kind of algorithmic. That's another word that's hard to say. Stable coins and stuff in crypto. No way.
I think that's one of the things we actually probably learned is that there are a lot of unpronounceable things here. You know, I asked Eddie George to say non-fungible token 5 times in a row really fast, and he did it. He did it.
Non-fungible token.
That was 3, but he did 5. He nailed it. Now, you know, did you know that he's also been a Broadway performer?
What? No.
Yeah. How many people have scored like 100 touchdowns or more in the NFL or in the NFL Hall of Fame and also start on Broadway and can say non-fungible token 5 times in a row really fast? That might be one of his greatest accomplishments. I want you guys listening at home to try it. It's not as easy as it sounds. So, okay. All right. So as we move forward in the series, we kind of got into, you know, there's the earn stuff. That was interesting. And then we kind of got into the, you know, there's this shady side. And I think that, you know, the whole collectibles industry has always been a little shady. And so has art. I mean, art has been, you know, you have, you know, there's well-known painters that use ghost painters. There's fake. Like at one point back in the early 90s, like when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were, you know, going for their roided up home run records, later came out. So the mob in New York City literally had like rooms of forgery experts just sitting there signing baseballs.
I believe it.
All day.
Yep.
All day. Now part of what an NFT does is an attempt to kind of authenticate stuff like
yes.
that. Because you could get that, you could buy that baseball. You're sort of like, hey, I'm gonna buy it for my kid, Mark McGwire. Sign it. That's awesome. It's $100 and here's your certificate of authenticity, which I could have also just printed out on my computer.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now the an NFT is intended to do that, but still that didn't stop it. So a fake Banksy NFT titled "The Great Redistribution of the Climate Change Disaster" that sold for $300,000. Yeah.
Well, I think we talked about this. It was like 80% or more of all NFTs on like OpenSea were either scams, copies, duplicates. Like people take Bored Apes and they just re-upload them and claim they're theirs or whatever. And they're trying to sell like fake NFTs, right? Like that's like a huge percentage of it.
I was going to buy this Bored Ape number 101, but I spent all my money on gas fees. So I don't have the $154,000 I need.
Is that because of the price of actual gasoline right now? Because it's also really high.
Are the gas fees, though, like, I'm curious, like, what the gas fees are. Are they the same on 154,000
It would be the same. It doesn't matter what the NFT is.
OpenSea literally says you need 89 more ETH plus gas fees to buy this. So I can't, they're not even going to tell me what the gas fees are. But now, are those scalable with the size of the purchase?
So the gas fees are based on like the code that needs to run. So we talked earlier about smart contracts and Ethereum and whatever. Those are more an estimate of like how many lines of code have to run and how long it takes to run those lines of code. It's not really like a percentage of the transaction price kind of thing. It's just more about the processing power it takes to execute the code.
So Ethereum's monolithic and Polygon is microservice.
I don't know if that's the right analogy, but it is just,
I mean, it cheaper. Feels close. It's cheaper. Well, we're talking about cheaper. That, but you talk about like monolithic architecture, which is just massive blocks of code that don't really run efficiently. They're not repaired efficiently, and microservices are broken up into little tiny things. Like, why is something like Polygon so much cheaper? Because you feel like you're getting ripped off with Ethereum. I got to be honest. Like, you just do.
The Ethereum is, you know, the oldest and been around, and it's considered the most safe and secure because it's very decentralized, and it'd be very hard for somebody to overtake the network and do things to it. So that's why people use it so much.
That's essentially what happened with Terra, though. Like, someone decided to take out a massive amount of money and it fucked the algorithm. The algorithm was shorted it, and then they had a weird cap on it. So like if Terra coin went below a dollar, then it immediately started generating Luna coins, which were attempted to balance it out, but they had a hard cap on it, so it couldn't even keep up with it. Yep. And the next thing you know, once that thing got wildly out of place, didn't they remove that cap and it made like trillions of Luna coins?
Oh yeah. 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 It got to the point where it was like thousands of them a second or an hour or whatever. Yeah. And it went crazy. And now there's like, maybe there's a trillion. There's a lot. Yeah.
Now I don't know how you trust
0.00000001 cents or something.
I think it came up to a nickel, which I was saying to you while that was occurring. Once that dropped and sat at 90 cents on the dollar for a couple, like even just an afternoon, you lose your faith in it. And so that's the same thing I think is going to happen with a lot of this stuff is, you know, once the hype cycle ends, or once something weird or goofy happens. And then a lot of these things is like, you know, a lot of these people are going to try to go back to the well again and again and again.
There's
going to
be a Luna version too.
Oh yeah. 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 So
they've already agreed and announced it.
I don't know how reliable that is. One thing I do know is reliable is if you need to hire software engineers, testers, and leaders, FullScale can help. We have the people, the platform, and the processes to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit FullScale.io, you just got to answer a few questions, then let our platform match you up with a fully vetted, highly experienced team of software engineers, testers, and leaders. At FullScale, we specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Visit fullscale.io to learn more. You know, I talk to Startup Hustle listeners a lot through the FullScale. They could come over to FullScale. I've talked to people from all over the world doing all different kinds of things. So, you know, at a minimum, we try to give you some good advice.
I love talking to startups and entrepreneurs about what they're doing. So always feel free to reach out.
I'm always excited if I can give someone advice, especially if it's the kind of advice that prevents them from falling down the money pit.
I had that conversation with somebody the other day. That's like, yeah. I've been listening to your podcast forever, and you guys told me this was a bad idea, and da da da. And I'm like, and you finally figured it out.
And they did it anyway.
They did it anyway.
And sometimes you got to touch the fire to learn that it hurts. I mean, it is. And I think that's what a lot, and on that note, I think that's what a lot of people learned with NFTs. I mean, some of these have worked out well. I think the thing that I realized that the people that are actually making money on this stuff are the people that are chasing down they're joining all the Discords. They're getting the whitelisted for minting things, and they're basically flipping them when they come out, yes. You know? So, I mean, that seems to me like the only spot that, you know, one of the things with event tickets is, you know, ticket brokers want you to go to your computer at 10 a.m. the day that tickets on sale. They want you to find a sold out house, and they want you to panic and rush to go buy something because you're worried that it's going to be gone. Like, I will tell you right now, you can always find a ticket.
That's very similar.
You can always find a ticket. You can always find a ticket. And that's the same thing I found with NFTs. And like,
very similar.
I mean, it really even felt the same because, you know, ticket brokers, I mean, why did I have Justin Bieber fan club cards? Because I joined the Justin Bieber fan club like freaking 75 times to get
you wanted to get in early.
I got in early and then I sold it. I sold those tickets for a very large premium to people that weren't paying attention basically. So people would sometimes call, they're like, why am I paying $300 for this? This ticket says $99.50. I said, you paid me to wake up and buy that for you 3 months ago.
My wife,
you know, honestly, most people you'd say that to them and they'd be like, oh, okay. All right. Makes sense.
Yep. My wife did that once. She couldn't get tickets. So she went on StubHub or something and spent like $2,000 for like these front row tickets. And I'm like, you did what?
Yeah. Yeah. Did you go to the show?
Yep. It was to Tim McGraw.
Did you even get to go? It was for Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw.
You're the only person in the history of Tim McGraw that paid $2,000 to see Tim McGraw.
Well, you know, you do.
I don't know. Women kind of like him, maybe.
That was my ex-wife.
I'm more into Tim McGraw's wife than I am Tim McGraw. So, because he's married to Faith Hill, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I might pay $2,000 to see her.
What do you think about the metaverse side of this?
Oh, dude, I don't get it. I mean, it feels to me like the same thing that I see with my kids playing Roblox. Like, why? Well, I don't need an NFT. I don't need to buy land in there. Like, I mean, I get some of it, but I just think a lot of it's bound to just be dog shit. Are there really going to be 500 highly sophisticated, highly trafficked metaverses?
But there's never going to be more land. Like, land's a valuable asset.
Dude, not in the metaverse. They said that 25 years ago. It was really well known. Like, buy land, they're not making any more of it. Then they built the internet. And then there was every .com and everything else. And that was the next land rush. Now, this is the third time that saying's applied to something. And there will be a fourth. I don't know what.
And if you've ever played Minecraft, you know there's an unlimited amount of land.
Well, right. That's the thing, though. It's like, I mean, we're not working with finite substance
here. No.
Like,
there is Ape World land now. Did you get some Ape World land?
No. No.
There's an unlimited amount of metaverses, people. Like, it's a stupid investment.
I'm just trying to exist on the very small postage stamp of Earth that my house exists on, you know?
And not in the metaverse.
It's not in the metaverse.
No.
Man, well, that's it. We're done with an NFT series. I hope you enjoyed it. And, you know, like I said, if you want to go back to the very first episode, April 1st, we covered a lot of stuff. Be careful, people. There's a lot of weird shit going on out there. See you down the road, Matt.
Yep. See ya. Thanks.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. Can